it's because of lower consumption, right? I mean, these are water rates, so it's lower consumption. As to why there's lower, I don't know. Weather is an influence. I haven't evaluated what could have caused it.
The only reason I raised the question was if we're going to decide how we want to move forward with rates, and we better figure out what the public is saving on so that we don't end up forcing them to try and save another $150,000.
Right.
The assumption is it's irrigation water.
Even though irrigation used less, the rates made it. We got more revenue from it. So.
Well, yeah, the irrigation and the revenue. I mean, it's like the estimate of the rates is like $460,000, and it came out like $410,000. I'm not sure if that is in here anywhere, that comparison. But I think it is important to watch those revenues and see where they're going. Now, I would caution anybody to draw a conclusion from two data points. So it's something to be aware of. And the rate study recognized this, and there are some factors in there, consumption factors, that say the first year your revenue is going to be less, and then it's going to come back. And that really didn't happen that first year, as you can see. But it's happening the second year, apparently. I mean, it seems to me that it is.
There's also a weather factor.
There's definitely a weather factor, and that's a big part. And if you wanted to try and educate yourselves more on it, you know, under Daryl's Operation Manager Creeks' OM Operation Manager report that he gives every month, he has the water production data in there. You can kind of compare to see if you can draw some conclusions from it. I mean, I do believe, but that won't tell you weather. We just don't track precipitation like that, and temperatures. I mean, that'd be a pretty robust analysis.
We're going to have to in the future, because the reason we don't have to do it, as opposed to some other agencies, is they also have to worry about stormwater with their reservoirs that they have to release downstream, so they really have to know ahead of time so you don't have that Oroville issue where you're just releasing a whole bunch of water and then you can't catch up, and then you're affecting your spillway. So, I mean, there are studies that can kind of predict, and that's another thing down the line, stormwater capture, is what does that look like for us? How could that help with irrigation? That's one way we can put it towards irrigation and also help reduce the cost. But as I started with not looking at the CIP in conjunction with this, that was one of the problems we had. And this is probably a good thing that we should direct when we're putting it back to the finance committee to look at CIP budget and give us the recommendation for the rate freeze coming back, so we have more data inputs given to us.
Steve, did the information that you provided to the finance committee?
We're both in a line. Steve, next time sit over there.
I usually sit there, but a nice lady took my chair, so I'm back here.
The information that you did provide to the finance committee for their meeting in December, I think it was December 18th.
I believe so.
Did it include, was the revised budget take into consideration these numbers here for the impacts for the rate freeze?
No, I did not consider rate freeze.
That's what I thought.
Okay. That's right. Right.
Okay. No, that's why I mentioned that, because the finance committee didn't look at rate freeze.
Nope,
so
they did not.
In order to get that recommendation back, that's what I think we should do.
Yep, I think we should too. Let them take a look at it, at the impacts. Just if we're not, we're just guessing up here.
Yeah, they're the guys that have the numbers.
I would disagree with assessment of guessing. We are, but that being said, I have a problem with the finance committee looking at it. So
no, I'm a big fan of the finance committee, but to help you minimize your guessing, we're collecting an extra $1 million a year. And we have a $50 million problem. There's no guessing about either of those numbers. Okay. Those are absolute numbers, no guessing. We don't need any help from anybody. We're collecting an extra million. We got a $50 million problem. And the question is, do we want to collect less money, more money, or the same amount of money? At some point, as Mike mentioned, we're going to have to go for another 218. There's no chance that the new 218 is going to lower rates. That's not even possible. It's not even consider, is that, so we're gonna either collect 1 million towards the 50 million, or we're gonna collect less than 1 million towards the 50 million. And we can make that decision right here, right now.
The only thing I would say though is, yes, the collecting of the revenue, you have to look at the expense side too. So it's obviously getting more expensive.
Yeah, the 50 million side is not gonna go down with time.
Right.
So and you're going, we all understand that.
Continuing to go like that.
So, I mean, I think, at least in my mind, those, even though I really think the Finance Committee should take a hard look and check our homework, I totally agree with Cindy's idea that we need to have detailed budgets with timelines and 6 month, 2 years, 5 year plans, all that detail. Nobody can argue against that. It will all help us. But going up, you know, 10,000 feet, are we going to collect another $1 million this year, or are we not? And we can make that decision right now. Whether we're going to continue the freeze, which will reduce that, or we can allow the rates to go up. I mean, that's, at least in my mind, I have enough information available to say yay or nay to that motion at this moment.
The only thing I would add is we need to look at the CIP, because there are some numbers in there that I'd like to bring up to look at as well, which may also help with this. So probably don't want to look at either one isolated.
I'm happy to take the 50 million problem down to a 40 million problem just to be on the safe side. So, okay, there we have it. At that point, if you want to accept that, you know, my suggestion is we could make a decision. Do we want to freeze rates again or not? Based on that analysis, I don't need any more additional information to make that decision today, even though all that other additional information is fabulous. We should have it, and you know, we will get it, and we should task the staff to be more rigorous. I mean, you know, they inherited the sins of many years of not having these things in place, and God bless them, it's going to take them a while to straighten that up. But it doesn't impede me from at least considering that motion that I'm talking about today. I think there's enough information on the table for us to say, do we want to freeze them again or no?
Did I agree with a lot of what you're saying? But looking forward and looking a little bit broader, if as a governance team we take it upon ourselves to ask the general manager to work with the finance committee and the finance committee to look at things and get us back some information based on the CIP, based on the budget that might have adjustments in it for a potential rate freeze and a not potential rate freeze, that rate increase, and we have that to look at, as well as we have an idea of the general manager's project schedules of when this 50 million or 40 million, whatever it's going to be in the CIP, can get done within a 5-year CIP time frame or within a 218 time frame. I think that information going forward is going to make our job a lot easier when we take that to the community and say, community, it's been 3 years, we need another rate hike, and this is why. We've got the information to show you now what needs to be done, what kind of project schedule we can put it on, what kind of a budget it can be on. It's going to be a lot more convincing and easy to convince the ratepayers that they're going to have to pay a little bit more money to get more projects done in another 218 than if we don't have those schedules or an idea of what kind of dollars we're really dealing with that we are collecting, and then putting that on a scheduled timeline for those improvements. Because we're being held accountable by these ratepayers that are giving us money to get these projects done. And at the rate we're getting them done, because of all these complications with timing and weather and project manager and engineer, all these challenges that we have to get bids in, to get projects done, we're not seeing the items drop off the general manager's monthly report list as fast as he would like, or as fast as we'd like, or as fast as the customers would like. So I agree with you, but
I don't disagree with the words you're saying.
I think we need to look at this going beyond to the next 218.
But if we just look at the rate increase that's in front of us, right? It spans a 5-year period of time. We're going to collect $5 million, no more, no less. Maybe less if we decide marginally less. Mm-hmm. But in this 5-year window, the best we could do is collect $5 million. Because we're gonna collect $1 million a year each of those 5 years. Then we're gonna do a new 218, and God knows what that future holds. But we know for a ever-loving fact, the best we can do is collect $5 million and apply it towards our 40 or 50 or $100 million problem. And our general manager is going to have to prioritize that, and we get to pick which ones. But it's only going to be $5 million. Now, we can marginally take that down a bit if we decide to continue the rate freeze. In my mind, all that does is going to make it miserable for the some future board to deal with a $100 million problem, and they're going to be looking at us the same way we were looking at the people when we inherited this big problem.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the ratepayer be taken care of than worry about what somebody's going to think about me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I certainly think throwing $5 million at this problem, that's what we signed up to do, with all the pain and anguish associated with it, it doesn't seem exorbitant to me. We got these ditches that we are very problematic, and lots of them are on irrigation lines. And, you know, they're the high priority. We have to do that. I mean, what the hey? I mean, otherwise those ditches are going to be shut down.
Okay, we're kind of beating this.
Okay.
Yep. So the question is, when do we want this to go to the Finance Committee and come back to us, which was the February timeline, which we initially started that said we were probably going to do. And since we already pulled the CIP, so this gives us all of the financials to review next month, or do we want to make this decision now?
Well, if we,
our Finance Committee.
I think to Steve's point, if we take no action today, rates goes up. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can, as we said in December, we can freeze it until February and wait till we get, because it's the January, February bill.
We did the same thing last year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we made a decision, yeah. I'm just really concerned about those irrigation customers, because if that goes up again and we lose half of those customers again, mm-hmm. what's that going to do to the fire issues? Yes. What's it going to do to the agricultural issues? What's it going to do to property values? What's that going to do to the health of the ecosystem? Yeah, I would like to take some more time to look at this and hear from the Finance Committee.
Yeah, I'm always hitting the irrigation, but mm-hmm. leave it the way it is. And let's just do the treated water.
We'll make a motion.
Do we have a discussion?
We got 2 minutes before 4:30.
Karen Bartholomew. I just want to say, and I mentioned it, about a year ago, about this irrigation water, that it doubled in price and it lost a lot of customers. And even since then, even customers went down. We lose lots of inches from customers and greenery around our divide, which part of it is already burned up. More and more people they can't afford it. And it's untreated water and it's just going down the river. I say lower the irrigation. You know, lower the irrigation prices, and you'll make more money in the long run.
Yes.
You know,
a sweet spot.
And plus, it'll protect our divide. We can't afford to be a paradise. You know, we just can't afford it. We already are losing insurance.
Phyllis Polito, and just real quickly, that's basically what I wanted to say. And the only thing I want to add to that is by raising the rates, you're not guaranteeing that you're going to get more income, because if you lose more irrigation people, that guarantee that you think is there is not there at all. In fact, your revenue could go down.
We could see the same thing with more conservation too, with drinking water rates.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone want to make a motion to keep this frozen until, maybe I'm making a motion, I can't. To have this frozen until February?
I can make that motion, that we temporarily freeze it till our February agenda.
Temporary.
Temporary freeze. Mm-hmm. Until we get it on the February agenda at that time. Let's get the numbers that the Finance Committee needs to look at the impact of the rate freeze and look at the impact of the rate increase for both drinking water and irrigation, and bring that, have them bring that back to us in February at the board meeting with some recommendations.
Mr. President, can I just ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you don't mind, my understanding, do we need to actually take action to freeze it until February? I mean, if I recall, the reading isn't in the bills.
Yeah,
can't we just basically not take action today and just say, okay, we're going to go do this next month? You're going to go to the finance committee or whatever else the motion is to look at, and then basically we're just going to have this discussion next month.
I think the short answer is yes. Bills go, the long answer is bills go out. We read meters, bills go out last week in February. Irrigation bills don't go out until we allocate water at the April board meeting. So. You don't have to take action today. You could take action in February to freeze. If you do nothing today, no one's going to get a bill between now and February with higher rates.
Right. So that was my point.
That's the long answer.
Okay, we have a motion.
No.
No?
No, there's
no motion.
Oh. I thought that we didn't need a motion.
Oh, that's,
we don't. You can just...
We didn't need to do nothing to keep things frozen until the next meeting.
Yes.
It would be more of a directive.
I have direction to go take it to the finance committee.
Right.
I have direction to take it to the finance committee and get their recommendation, especially as it relates to the capital improvement projects. Right, Steve? Steve heard it too.
So, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
No, we have a motion on the floor.
No, we don't.
It's more of a directive.
Yeah,
it's not a directive.
When?
We have a directive to check on that for next month. Okay.
Sir?
Yes. She has a question.
I have a question. When do the notices go out for the signing up for this year's irrigation water?
They already went out.
And when do they do that?
March 1st.
And how does that impact the decision of the temporary freeze or not? That's my question.
Yeah.
People have to make up their minds by March 1st, and if we hold it off until February,
or they think it's coming.
Yeah. So it's just, just a question. How does that work?
Yeah.
You guys can.
Depending on what the outcome is in February, will be depending on how the general manager addresses the questions from the irrigation customers, because he won't know if those rates are going up or down until we have in February. So it's going to be a tight timeline.
Sorry.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There it is.
Eight F.
Yes.
Yep.
Mike, you got the compass?
That's why I've been going to that.
Wait, where are we at?
Eight F.
I said I would entertain one.
So yeah, I've been going to the EDPA meeting. They're at 10 o'clock on the first Wednesday, so I would like to be able to sit on the board since I haven't. I've just been in the audience.
Yeah, I'd also like to be appointed as well, to be considered for the board. I know individuals at Grizzly Flats, as well as EID, as well as Tahoe City and South Tahoe PUD through my work at CSDA. I've also worked for a county water agency, so I'm familiar with what the process is, and would like to be considered by the board as well for the appointment to this position.
Thank you. I make a motion that we appoint Director Saunders and Director Wadley to this board?
We have to decide who
gets one.
We only get one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, how come we can't have two?
Because we're the short guys. So it's between Grizzly Flats, Salt Lake Tahoe, us. They give us one seat, whereas EID kind of holds the.
Yeah, we get We get one seat with EID and Grizzly Flat, and every other time has to be EID for 4 years.
I didn't realize.
Historically, the district, GPUD and Grizzly Flat has split the four-year term, and so we name a director, and they name an alternate, and then after 2 years, they kind of switch roles.
So let me make a motion that they could be co-directors, and they each split every other meeting.
I don't know if EDCO will go for that. I don't know.
I think you can do a board member.
Sorry, I said anything.
Okay, so how about if I make a motion to reappoint, in order of the way they spoke, we appoint Director Saunders to the board, and then have Director Wadley be the alternate when Director Saunders can't make it.
Yes.
We can't do that. The alternate has to be from Grizzly Flats.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, what?
That's why I was just trying to explain.
I'll make it easy, and I will defer to Director Wadley, because I also sit on LAFCO, so I'm not going to be on every board if he's available to sit on it.
I appreciate that.
Okay, then I'll make a motion that we have Dane Wadley sit on the EDCA board then for us.
I'll second it.
Can I just clarify that motion is to adopt the resolution? Because the resolution also specifies that we're going to support Grizzly Flats as the alternate director.
Okay, then I'll amend that motion to elect Director Wadley. And we'll accept the motion so that we can support Grizzly Flat as the alternate.
And I'll second that.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Halpin.
Aye.
Director Souza.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye.
Director Wadley.
Aye. Thank you, board. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Okay. I'll probably be in Sacramento on those days now, too.
Jay.
Oh, I thought we were going to.
Oh, we're doing G. No, we're going to find our way through.
Get a G.
All right.
Yeah, G.
All right. G.
I have to do G.
You have a.
I have slides, but I want to wait for it to go on, so I won't put them up.
Okay.
I will bullet point it for you if you.
Let's take this
in. You have, actually, there are. Did Nikki's hand it out? So you have my slides handed out already. You can refer to them. I won't belabor the PowerPoint. This is updated policy for discontinuation of residential service. It is required that we update this policy for a new law, SB 998.
Yeah.
998 says we have to have this policy in effect by February 1st. So we're going to adopt this policy today. This policy does affect at least one resolution. Ordinance. So Ordinance 71-3, 82-1 deals with the current shutoff discontinuation policy that we have. So the new law has the effect of, and it only affects residential service. So right now, all ordinance pretty much goes through everybody has service, residential, commercial, irrigation, doesn't matter. The same lockup policy applies. This policy, by this new law, applies only to residential services. It extends the delinquency period to 60 days. So it says they have to be delinquent for 60 days before we can lock them off. That means they have 90 days to pay. From the time they bill, the time we bill to the time we can lock off now is 90 days instead of 60. And so it does require us to notify within 10 days, either telephone or writing. It requires that we have some kind of alternate payment plan for people that are low income or have health issues. It also tells us we have to give renters the opportunity to open an account if their landlord is delinquent. If their landlord is in jeopardy of being locked off, we have to notify the renter that, hey, you guys can apply for service in your name, and you have your own account separate from theirs. Again, our current practice is says delinquent for 30 days before you get locked off, so it's 60 days to pay. We do send out a 10-day notice 10 days prior, so that doesn't really affect anything we're doing. We do also do notify by phone 48 hours prior, so above and beyond the law. And we already offer alternative payment schedules for anyone that can justify a hardship case. So there's no strict, hard rules on that. It's pretty much if you come in and say, look, district, I'm having trouble paying my bills this month, and you can agree to a payment plan. We'll put together a payment schedule for you, and you sign an agreement. And follow that. So we already do those things. So really, the biggest impact is now people have 90 days to pay instead of 60.
And this is mandated by the state.
Mandated by the state.
Okay.
So I mean, the impact.
Okay, so we don't get to vote.
Done deal.
You don't get to vote.
I make a motion that we adopt the resolution.
Well, there's more to this, though.
I had the one issue on the, just the part where we have to put on the website with the languages.
Yes.
Because we don't have a price, a cost for that yet, so.
No, it's, we've looked into it, and it seems as, from folks, we don't have any quotes, but it's a few hundred dollars, so it's less than $1,000.
And is that including any possible 10%? Like, do we have Russian or Slavic languages that we might have to add on?
Not that we know of, no. I'll have to double check the census data, but I believe the answer is no. I don't, even Spanish, Chinese, Tagalog. The list is pretty expensive.
It is.
The policies just have to be translated into Spanish, Chinese,
the that, you know,
Tagalog, Vietnamese, and Korean. So there's several languages by law, and then right, if it's 10%, there's any, I think of 10% or more, we have to translate for them as well.
So what do we think the maximum on that might be?
I would say 800.
Okay.
No, the state's not going to reimburse you.
No.
Right. It's an unfunded mandate.
It's an unfunded mandate. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yes, they usually are.
I just have it real quickly.
Okay. That's the concern that I had, is I was wondering what the translation costs were going to be and see if there's proof. Have we got any proof
I don't have
of
any quotes.
Other languages that we might have spoken in our district, our district boundaries? So I have the same questions. And
no, I'm going with my recollection, and so I would... Obviously, we would check that and verify that before we do this. My recollection is no.
Okay, so then I'm just wondering, do we want to amend this resolution, Steve, so that you go ahead and you publish the policy in English now, pending the translation costs, so that we can get the other...
Let's see what the resolution says.
Spanish, Chinese, Taiwan, Vietnamese, and Korean, and the other languages up later as we get them translated. So when they're translated, we can post them.
No, we'll do it all at once. We do it all at once, and the resolution does state that whereas SB 98 requires the policy made available on the district website in English, Spanish, Chinese, Tagalog, Vietnamese, and Korean, and any other languages spoken by at least 10% of the people residing in the service area. So I believe the resolution covers all of us here, that if you adopt the resolution, it'll give me the authority to make the translation in all those languages as required by law and post those. Now, if the board doesn't feel like I can do that or they don't like my cap of $800, then you can provide some other direction, but I think the resolution covers it.
Steve,
legally.
Is there online translation services that you can use? Because you know how you go to some websites, and if it's in Swedish, it'll say translate, and it'll translate for you automatically. So is there any online services that'll translate if you get this policy written, you just run it through the translator?
That is not best practice or recommended because those translations are not accurate.
Right.
There's too many nuances to languages, so we need to hire a professional who does translation services for, as a profession to do this the right way to make sure we get it right. And we don't end up with
and do you know, are we going to be...
Some weird translation.
Are we going to be then looking at one or two professionals for all these five different languages? Or do they? Is there one service you hire and then they cover many languages?
It's one service that covers many.
Okay.
I've been following this on some forums.
But if we don't have 10% of our population, we won't have to do this.
No, you
have
to do
it for those languages are...
Oh,
this is all mandated by law. You don't get to choose.
Yeah.
You don't get to choose to, slowly put the different translations up or anything. You have to do this by the date that it has to be done, as stated in the resolution.
Steve, can I ask you why, if this was passed in September 28, 2018, why are we getting it like a few weeks before it's actually due?
It's just the workload. Just prioritizing things. Like Barbara said, you don't have a choice. It's law.
Okay.
Yeah, we work with our office, work with Steve's, with staff on this. In the
fall. Yeah, hand up back
and,
there.
Okay, just one last question.
It's not like we just worked on it yesterday. We worked on it for a while, and
it came before the
it's ready.
So, Steve, just one last question. The $800, if you're guesstimating that's what the translation cost might be, I'm sure that you've got an idea in mind of what fund that's going to come out. We've got budget money to cover that.
It comes out of the operating fund, and I believe it's going to be low enough that we can absorb it without requiring any kind of budget amendment by the board.
Okay.
It's within my signing authority.
Okay.
I think it's low enough that we can absorb
thanks.
It. 800 is a high number.
Okay.
I just wanted to, I think the plan's good. I had a question just for understanding. If Steve, you're the tenant and I'm the landlord, and I'm remiss on the bill.
You're the landlord, okay.
And then GDPUD goes to you and says, well, you know, Steve Miller's not paying the bill. Would you like to have a contract with us? I assume that what I didn't pay becomes liable and collectible to me and doesn't impact you.
True.
So, okay. Yes. Yeah, you don't have to make up the loss before you can get one.
No, I don't believe so.
Because you've already paid it in the rent, theoretically.
Yeah.
Should be checked into. Just make sure. Question.
Put a lien.
Yeah, put a lien. I mean, that becomes the lien amount.
You put the lien amount, the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, it becomes.
The problem.
Yeah, there's.
I just have a quick one.
Okay, so you have to vote on this?
I just have a real quick.
Or is it just a.
We have to adopt a motion.
Hello.
You got it.
Yes.
How do you know who's a renter? If you have a renter in a residence, to be able to lock them off?
Most of them we know because they have contracts with. We have to have
if
a rental
contract.
If they
pay contract. The bill, right?
No, because they usually get, both usually get bills.
Okay.
Typically they go to both. If we know. You're right, we may not know.
Yeah.
That's
so you may
that
have a problem.
Is a problem with the law. We may not if we do not
okay,
know.
Okay, so how about I make a motion that we adopt the resolution as presented? We have
I think you just did. I'll second it.
Okay, how about a vote?
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye. I don't know if you're going to have time with people. If you see these to get downtown, you're going to...
I know, I'm not, yeah. If
you're
we
gonna,
don't
you're
going to
have time.
Yeah, I'm not going to make it.
So.
Then you need to decide what you want to do. If you want to cut off a meeting, which is kind of unusual to cut off a meeting, you have many agenda items. I've never seen it done. You need to do something with your remainder three items.
Well, the fact is,
two
items. You can go, and you still have a quorum.
Yeah.
So let's... Follow through. Fast.
Yeah.
Okay, we only
have
two.
Go,
besides those guys, you guys got meetings too.
We have two left.
Okay, let's...
Okay,
I'll present what we got. Jay, consider to revise board policy, board meeting agenda.
Okay.
I make a motion we adopt the resolution as presented. I came to the meeting fully prepared and read the damn thing before I walked in the door, so I know exactly what's in there. I don't need it explained to me. Do I have a second?
No, I don't have a second because it adds again the board reports. Is that part of it as well? Since that was added in again.
What?
It was in there.
We're talking about 8J, right?
Mm-hmm.
8J.
I'm just trying here, guys.
You made a motion, but I'll second that motion.
It was made before we had any discussion.
Okay. Time.
I'll only be
15
minutes.
You need
to
have discussion while
motion's
pending.
Because they
okay.
don't know how to run a meeting.
They have a motion and a second.
So
I'm looking for the
board president. You should ask for discussion.
We have a discussion.
He second. So they should go on with it. You made a second.
I did.
They should go on with it.
Well, yeah, they're just discussing their comments on the policy.
I'm trying to find it. What is wrong here?
Well,
I'm trying
to
find the policy. Yeah.
Moving.
I'm trying to find exactly what you had in the draft. I had some concerns with it. Here we go. So page 406.
That's the draft policy.
Page 4 of 6.
And I'll include it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. 5020-1.2.
Yes.
So, where it says a director may request verbally during board member request for additions to future meeting agendas to be considered on a future agenda. And it says, upon agreement by majority of the board, the item will be placed on a future agenda for board discussion. So I just wanted to know if you wanted to go with that path or can just someone make a request to bring it up. That was my issue I had to bring up for discussion.
Well, if we adopt it the way it stands, what that means is procedurally, what that means is I'm going to have to bring in my list of things I want on next month's agenda. We're all going to have to take time to read it and agree to it or pick the items we agree to and then put those on the agenda. If we do that times five, or times two or three, we're still adding an additional step to the agendas. I'm for taking this out. And you know why I'm for taking this out and going back to what we've been doing? Is because since this topic was brought up, and it was brought up over the PowerPoint issues that Mike wanted to present those pictures from some of the tours he'd been on, our board reports at the end have not gone on longer. You know, they're not real time consuming. It hasn't really been an issue. We've been able to pretty much get through them pretty quickly. There's a lot of times when the majority of our board have just minor or nothing to really report on. So it's not like they're getting lengthy or getting in the way of getting our information out there.
Well, this one was at the end of the meeting when we give our agenda items that you have to have a majority of the board to agree upon it before you give them the agenda.
So we're still asking to add that procedural step in there. Mm-hmm. It could be time consuming. Unless we figure out a way amongst ourselves to get it to each other before the board and say, hey, here's what I'm gonna, what I'd like, and you can do this through email, but then we're hamstrung by, you know, right, the brown one.
Yeah. Like we did last time, when we said, should we have the grant right away? We all said, yes.
What do you want to do, Mike? So.
Well, I'll really wait for Dave to come back, because it's up to him. Do we want a single director to be able to make a request and it go on, or do we want to have consensus? That's basically what the question is.
And depending on which way we go, hopefully we just modify this one bullet point, take our sentence out, and hopefully it'll be fine.
But the other thing is, we're also removing the item request to the general manager, correct? Because that's crossed out now.
It's incorporated into 5020.1.1, so I just moved that down.
Okay.
To kind of make it flow better.
Sorry, my understanding is the changes to the policy are going to be 5021 in the staff report 406. That's what the policy is going to read. Am I missing that?
The 50, they'll read in quotes, italicized, that's the way they'll read.
That's going to be the policy.
That's what's proposed, yeah. And it is in the packet redline form. It's kind of hard to find because there's so much in it, but it is a little ways back in redline form as well. But that's what it'll say about getting an item on the agenda.
5020, 1.1 and 1.2.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. And that's what
it does go on.
That's what your resolution and your recommendation.
And it does go on to add a section 5020.5, which lists all the items on a typical agenda, and then kind of includes a little description of what those are. That is not in the staff report, other than a few sentences, because it goes on for a page and a half.
You said 5020.5?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the next, right next to it. That's on page 5
right
or
there.
6.
Page 5 or 6?
Your right hand, right
this?
There. Yeah.
The okay, so this NID stuff, that's what you're going to put in as well.
No.
Those are the samples of what other agencies do. It's you have to go to the attachment. So attachment 2, which is kind of a ways back.
Oh, got it.
Has the red line version.
Sorry.
You'll see our policy. It starts at the top.
Right. Yep. No, I'm
ED policy manual. And it's in red. So those are all the changes. So that shows exact 1.1.2 and then 0.5 at the end. And,
sorry, my apologies.
What page is that?
It's a lot of pages.
We have a motion and a second.
Just waiting for. So basically, the only question I had was on just 5020.1.2. That if we leave it as it is, that means as we did before, like when I talked about the grant, right? And we all had a concession, and then it goes forward, as opposed to a single director comes in and makes an agenda item, and then it goes through and it comes for board discussion. So it's a question of single versus consensus.
And I would be in favor of a consensus.
How does it work for an emergency or special meeting then? For example, Dave, when you had a concern and you called a special meeting, you wanted it on the agenda, got put on the agenda, does that have to go for consensus?
Yeah, that should, according to this, we shouldn't have that anymore.
I think everybody agrees that wasn't a good idea.
This is the same thing. It says the general manager in cooperation with the board president shall prepare an agenda for each regular and special meeting.
It says shall be placed on the agenda for board discussion on whether the item should be scheduled.
No, I'm just reading on the special meeting, his point. 5020.1.
1 hour.
You prepare an agenda for each regular and special meeting.
So, the issue of when to call on a special meeting, is it not addressed in this policy? I think it's under the board president policy, which is the next item, item K, I believe. Let me look. It's not in this policy. It's in a different policy. I do know that. It's addressed somewhere else. I recall reading it. I don't.
So, Steve, does Sam would apply in for an emergency meeting?
Yeah, I talked about both. I'm not sure. It's
emergency meeting is just you call an emergency meeting. There's no consensus that it's an emergency. You know, look, the board president.
Usually the GM will call. This is what happened. We had the filter failure last year. I called the board president. Like, look. I need to get an emergency contract to filter repair. We're not going to walk. I need an emergency meeting today. There was no consensus needed. The board president has the power to call a meeting whenever.
Sorry, here, let me go on mine and I'll. No, so. Go past.
Pass the Ringwood Park?
Yep.
It's kind of in the middle of the attachments. A lot of times other districts will have consensus because of the expenditure of staff time and money.
Does he not have red lines in this?
Sure, you can get
a couple of
how's that possible?
And I'm not going to be done with that.
It's
trying to basically put, memorialize what we actually feel.
So is anything here?
So it's not like every single meeting you have to decide.
It might be true. I'll let staff speak to it, but it might be agree to that. Those are the changes.
I didn't get the red line in my packet, and I probably will.
Did you look?
I mean, they were all printed at the same time. I don't know how.
It's hard to find. But anyway, you didn't
show up.
But at any rate, you don't. I'll help you look. But at any rate, you didn't see it until just now, so that's fine.
But is the only change this? Because these are the ones that I went over.
These changed, and then it added a section 5020.5. That's that.
I don't have that. And I saw the thing where you were adding the agenda. There's a part on director reports.
It's
right before all the exams.
Does he not have it?
No, I don't have it.
That's really odd.
It's right here.
Good. Thank you.
It's right there. So this is all added. So it's just the agenda.
Give me a heart attack for no reason.
This is new.
It's hard to find.
This is all new. I'm not even thinking red. I don't know why
it's new. It's part of the staff.
I should have put it in there.
Mike, maybe we should defer this until the next meeting. Yeah, you get a better
chance. The only thing I would have talked about was I thought we gave our consensus on the board reports and time. We gave that before.
You did. You did, and so I incorporated it in here. Mm-hmm. In doing so, it felt awkward to add a description of what a board report is, but nothing else. So went ahead and added the rest of the agenda items on there, too. It just felt like it was more appropriate to cover everything instead of just one item on the agenda. And it's pretty consistent with other agencies. They generally list what each agenda item, a typical agenda item looks like, or agenda list looks like, so you know what to expect.
The only thing I would change is for 4, finance committee / committee reports, just in case sometime in the future it's another committee.
Oh, then your agenda would add a different committee as number 5. if you create a new committee. This is just an example.
All right.
Yeah, this is just, this isn't like...
There was nothing that changed there from, the 1.2 was the main concern from that.
Yeah, the preamble just says the district agenda for regular meetings shall generally follow the following format.
Oh, and there was one other thing that I wanted to add on that is our agenda does not contain the names of our board. So I would add that.
Yeah, that's right. We do see a lot of board agendas for meetings we go to that they do have the directors listed.
Yeah. Okay. If we would add anything else, to add the board names on, president, vice president, treasurer, and the other two members, just in case we have someone come in who wants to address people, they have it.
Okay. Steve, can you make those changes? And
I'm not clear on what the motion and second and direction is right now. I have a motion and second as presented in the staff report. And then there was discussion about changes to that. So I think you guys need to rectify that for me.
He said consensus, which keeps it the same as is. So the only thing I would add is we want to have the board members' names on the agenda, because as of now, it's not. We don't have our.
I'm fine with that. Fine.
So I amend my motion to as presented, with the addition of including the directors' names on the agenda.
Okay. Okay. I'll second that.
Names and offices.
Names and offices.
Okay.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Halpin.
Aye.
Director Souza.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye.
Director Wadley.
Aye.
I think we still got K before we get out of here.
Yep. Steve, you want me to take this one?
Yes, that's actually, yeah, this is the perfect one for you to take.
Okay. So the draft that Steve provided in our board packet is, it's the one that I provided back in August of 2019, the one that's got the strikeouts and the underlines. Strikeouts are, again, the original text, underlines what I added, and these are just draft comments to begin a discussion on changing the roles and responsibilities of the board president to alleviate the issue that I felt like I was dealing with for 12 months last year, where I couldn't get anything on the agenda following this policy or the one where I sent it to the general manager 12 days before. So it felt like if we had in the list, especially number 13 of these roles and responsibilities, if we just left it as coordinate and we didn't clarify coordinate, there was no assurance an agenda item would get on the agenda or not. It's kind of a moot point now, and maybe we want to change this language based on what we just voted on, since it's now going to be a consensus. But again, these were just draft changes I made as a springboard point to start, may have a discussion of how we might want to make sure that if we have a board policy that depicts roles and responsibilities of board president, one of them is to address agenda items, that board members can be assured that if they really have something they want to talk about, it does eventually get on the agenda.
So did you just say we actually addressed your concerns in the previous?
You did, because now it's going to be a consensus. Okay. So if you look at 13 now, that where it said solicit and accept agenda items at the next meeting's agenda with other members of the board, then there's our consensus right there. But we could further clarify this if we would like, based on what we just voted on, to say with a consensus of the board, things like that. So again, these were just a starting point.
Well, if we've addressed it in the previous one, maybe we should just choose not to move forward on this one.
Yeah, I think that we addressed it.
Yeah, obviously, overlapping.
The board president role
as long as you're
changed.
Satisfied
Director Souza, I have confidence that you're going to manage. I was just going to say, I'm confident you're going to manage the wishes of the board and the balance that comes with sitting in that chair, and so I'm confident about it. So I don't think there's any need to, change anything that's going to give you a chance to actually do your job first. And if there's a problem, then you'll no doubt hear about it.
Okay. And that's good for the one issue of getting items on the agenda. For the rest of the other
17, roles and responsibilities. Some of these address parliamentary procedures. Director Saunders and I have asked from day one for our written parliamentary procedures. So it would be nice if those were consistent, whatever we change them to, and whatever parliamentary procedures we want to follow, it'd be nice if they were consistent with the Finance Committee, because right now they're different from the Finance Committee. So it would be nice if we had some set of rules and we had those in writing, so board members would know that it could go in their board packet when they're handed as it as a new director, so they know how to conduct themselves accordingly. So some of these other ones are, you know, just for clarification, like number six. I mean, it's just as further clarification.
I think it's appropriate to give Director Sousa or President Sousa a chance to run the meetings in a way that's going to, you're going to figure this out as you go along.
Correct. Anything else?
We have to address this item, right?
I just need direction on whether or not you want any revisions, staff to make any changes to the policy. If not, that's fine. I want to know if you want to do anything with the policy.
Review some more.
And so my view is that the policy, the existing policy is fine. And that Director Sousa should be given a chance to work on that policy and if, to manage the requests of the four of us, or the five of us.
The only thing that's kind of missing there is, but it's not with this policy, so it's how incorporating the treasurer with certain roles that it's not defined with the Finance Committee. So though they're liaison, most of the duties fall under the board president still. So. Mm-hmm.
It's not defined in the Finance Committee policy?
Not directly now.
No.
So that was one of the things I brought up. That we need to have a Finance Committee policy review, and that's going to be the steps because there's a bunch of issues in there.
But that doesn't pertain to this policy in part discussion.
Directly, but when we change it, it may.
Well, I'm sure we can bring that back if there are changes that affect the Board President policy.
I'll read up on it. Anything else?
So do they need to do anything before you move on, Mr. President? I want to make sure our legal counsel's confident with some of the items that were moved.
They made
a motion to take them off, right?
So yeah, they're off.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now it's just your last item is not
okay.
In here.
Sorry, thank you.
Yeah, they got through the
it's long
agenda.
Very lengthy, long meeting.
Okay. Go ahead.
Our next meeting.
You're gonna do agenda item 9.
Oh, I thought we crossed that
one. Yep, you can't cross that one.
Wait for Mike.
Well, I have no board reports.
All I have is there are gonna be some I've been in discussion with some of the board members and presidents from the places that were hit from the Butte Fire, the Sonoma Fire, and other stuff to get governance level disaster and emergency preparedness things that they thought were useful for the board. So I'll bring that back later on so we can further talk about better what we mean when we're looking at emergency and disaster preparedness from the board level, because we know the district has it, so things that are more important to us. I've also been talking to Forest Hill, EID, NID, and some of the other Grizzly Flat about the grant writer issue, so that's something that we all discussed before in consensus, so this may be something we'll be putting forward once I get the information on. And still haven't heard back enough from Peter Brostrom from DWR yet about the horse and livestock stuff. But it was the vacation, so we'll see what's going on. That's all I have to add.
David?
Nothing for me.
Cindy?
I'm not going to make it. The only thing I have is the handout that I passed out today of some of the items I'd like to discuss and get consensus on to put on a future board member agenda, and you guys all have those handouts. That's all I have. Oh,
okay.
Sorry, my stomach.
Thank you.
Okay, close this meeting. Our next meeting is February 11th. Is that the second Tuesday?
Yeah. Second Tuesday.
Yep. Okay, thank you. 2 p.m.
Just ask them to print on 3x5 cards,
so
that doesn't
mean
we'll post the answers
that,
on the web.
Yeah, that's that we can do that.
Yeah, I think we can.
Yeah,
talk to
we'll talk to Barbara.
Yeah, hell of a job.
He's
already
in group.
What?
I know some people.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yes, sir.
It's a little comic. It's a little larger one.
Everyone gets the card. Write the question.
I didn't know that.
And the rationale is the whole community gets the benefit of the answer.
We will try to make sure we got that information.
So,
I didn't know we could do that.
Talk to Barbara. If we could implement that, that would help a lot.
Shake my hand.
You know, we ought to hold ourselves to that. You know, we ought to come in with our questions largely answered.
I come in and talk to Steve.
That's
all. Yeah, do it all
so that
time.
Would be one way to help move it along.
I really like that. I get to go to his ranch every year.
Is that right?
Yes. It's called the Rancheros Vistadores. It's a high-falutin organization.
Up on the top of the mountain, off for a few years.
Yes. Matter of fact, that's where we stay.
Cool.
That's where Secret Service used to stay. It was up on top.
Yeah.
And every year we get a present in the mail, and we don't know what it's going to be. And this year
it was
the hat. So they gave out thousands of these things.
They actually came into Santa Barbara. The carrier came into Santa Barbara. I mean, you know, they had to anchor out because there was nothing in town big enough
really
to support him.
Sure.
Wow. So, but they were in there because of where he lived.
It's called the Rancheros Vistadores. It's the gears and the Firestones and the hearse.
I've been up by it because I went to school in Santa Barbara. So.
Yeah, you know where it's at.
Yeah, I know where
it's at. Oh, the whole week of just have a wonderful time.
How fun.
And that's all I'm saying. Then we have a big parade into Palos Verdes?
Palos Verdes?
No.
What is that? Thank you, Mike.
Yep. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and I don't remember.
Yeah,
but
there'll be a big
Did
parade.
Did you see that information I sent you?
Thanks.
And in that paper, there's a
The guy that was a big feature in that parade a long time ago was Pacifico Kid.
Yeah. Trimming trees and stuff.
Oh,
he lived in
Santa Barbara.
Yeah. Reagan's bodyguard is still alive.
I met him last year. So I'm just going to go home.
So he's still around.
Cool.
Stories you can tell. He said Ron used to sneak out. And he'd go, where did he go?
Yeah, where'd he go?
And he'd take off.
He'd take off in his Jeep or he'd take off on a horse.
The Jeep's still there. The Jeep's in his garage. The chainsaws are still in the barn. It's an amazing place. I love going there.
I hope they're going to be able to.
I saw him downtown.
Well, it's on the museum now.
Oh, is it?
They got
I saw him.